Welcome. Here is a world burning with change. Well, with news anyway. Events, explosions. Whether it's actually change or not remains to be seen. That's the big question. I do want to go back over some... You know how yesterday I pulled out a couple of Rantline cuts and focused on those during the first hour because I thought they were so intriguing. And George is back with a follow-up, which I think is worth going over. There's also a DACA ruling. It's a procedural loss, it seems, for the president on DACA because they didn't like the way that he went about getting rid of DACA. So the court ruled against him, and it's John Roberts again, the Chief Justice, who, you know, there's this this thing on the Supreme Court that they have their concern about staying relevant, given that they're an undemocratic institution by their very nature. They don't respond to the people on a structural basis. They don't have any tentacles down to the people other than what they're hearing in the news and their sense of where the country is at. And John Roberts, as the Chief Justice, views himself as the guy who's supposed to maintain some kind of connection between what the Supreme Court decides and the ability of the public to accept what the Supreme Court decides. So in that way, it makes the Supreme Court a lot more democratic than, say, the Connecticut state government, which is a totally rigged system controlled by special interest groups who pay the Democrats and support the Democrats in their election bids and in return get to make all policy. It's a remarkable thing. But here you have the Supreme Court. I'm just throwing this in as an aside, but it's kind of a noteworthy thing to observe that the Supreme Court of the United States, which has no democratic mechanisms within it, is more democratic in a way that seems unfortunate than is the state government of Connecticut, which doesn't respond on any level to the best interests of the state or the will of the people. Remarkable. So there's a lot of need for change and a lot of need to discuss it. Anyway, so John Roberts jumped over and joined the liberals to say, DACA isn't right because it wasn't done properly, which opens the opportunity for the president to start doing it again, which maybe he'll do right away, given that he's got an election coming up, and that might be a good opportunity for him to create a new argument about his own import to the survival of the country and to the survival of notions of liberty. All right, but let me I want us to be able to understand each other, and I know I'm asking a lot of people. So, but I'm not going to start with George. I want to start with the call that came after him because of some of the things that he said. So listen to this, if I can make it work. It's not working. Wait one sec. This guy is attacking. Well, I don't know. Is attack the right word? He's making assumptions about me and how I operate. And I just want to clarify, because a lot of people say this kind of stuff, and it bothers me because it just bears no resemblance to the reality of how I think and work. And I would think people would have picked up on how I think and work after 3 years of us being together every day.
Hey, Todd. Well, I guess my rant today is, we talk about democratic pandering, and we speak about that a lot because it's what they do. But what you and Will are doing...
All right. First objection I have to raise. What you and Will are doing. If there is any correlation between what Will and I are doing, it's got nothing to do with intent. We don't coordinate. We don't talk except when we're on the air together. I mean, rarely. It's not that there's no, I mean, we have nothing but good feelings between us. But we just don't talk. Nobody in talk radio talks to each other. There is no plan. And it bothers me when people think there's a plan or an ulterior motive. I come here every day, and what I try to do is process the news through me so that I can experience it personally and find what angers me and find what I think is gross and find what I think is appalling and a violation of integrity and a violation of responsibility and fiduciary responsibility. I just look at it all every day and report to you what I see. And that means, by definition, I'm not going to somebody's list of talking points or talking to some talk radio programming wizard who's telling me if you want to increase the number of listeners that you have, what you have to do is create an intersection between this group and that. I don't know anything about such things. I just go on the air and I talk. And over time, over the 3 years that I've been here, that has that has taken me from having good ratings to having exceptional ratings. The audience here is huge. The audience here is even bigger since the last few months and the tragedy of the Lamont administration's response to COVID and the president's response to COVID. And now we've got this thing going on. It just keeps getting bigger. And I think the reason is because I'm not following formulas. I'm just saying what I think. So it bothers me that somebody would, how glibly people make these accusations.
You and Will are doing is no different.
Will and I are not doing anything, as far as I know. Will may just sit there and write down everything I say. I don't know why he would do that. He's got his own ideas. He's a smart guy. I can't say what's coming from him. I can just tell you I don't have any interest in what anybody else says. I barely listen to any other talk radio. The only host I listen to is Will, so that I know what he's covering in case I want to hit topics harder that he's hitting light or something like that. But in terms of coordinating, there's this sense people have that we are trying to strategize these macro plans of conquering the marketplace. It's crazy.
You're pandering a different line for ratings because you're seeing missed opportunities as far as listeners go.
What missed opportunities? We might be the highest rated talk station in the country. I don't even know, but it's extraordinary, our ratings. And that has to do with how much you like what we do. I don't think you like what we do because of some contrivance. I think it's because it's original and because it's closely tied to the community in a way that few other stations do.
And I don't believe that is why we as listeners listen to this station or any other station for that matter.
All right, listen, because here comes the good part. Here's why. And maybe you agree with this, and if you do, I'd love to hear it. Here's why this guy, he didn't give his name, I'm sorry. This is why he says that he listens.
For that matter, I believe we listen to the station to agree with the points in which you make and the points that the Republican Party should feel.
Okay, so this is a revelation. It's something that's never occurred to me. It's never occurred to me that, hey, because what he's saying on one hand is that I'm conspiring with Will to say things that aren't true in order to attract a bigger audience, which I don't even understand how that would work. Now he's saying my job is not to conspire with Will to say things that I don't believe and aren't true because that will bring a bigger audience. No, it's a whole different, he wants us conspiring to find out exactly what you already think and then say that back to you. And he says that's why you listen.
I believe we listen to the station to agree with the points in which you make and the points that the Republican Party should feel.
Well, the last part, I believe I am exactly making the argument that is upsetting this guy and others is exactly what I think the Republican Party should be arguing. There is structural racism in America, has been my position for years. And by the way, all the things I'm saying, I've been saying for years, long before I came to Connecticut to do radio. But I get better at it, and I understand the insidiousness of government better because I have Connecticut state government to study, and it's the most corrupt and immoral sewer of politics I've ever seen. But the idea that my job is to feed you what you already believe and reinforce your beliefs, even the wrong ones, is ridiculous to me. And I would not do that. I'm appalled when I hear the average tacos around the country doing this rote kind of, oh, what do you, if I wanted to be like Rush, what do I want to sound like? That's what I hear people doing. And you can't imitate Rush. Rush is too brilliant. He's too uniquely Rush. He's his own thing. And talk radio is built to a large extent on people trying to be him. You can't be him. Forget about it. Nobody can be Rush but Rush. Anyway, is that your feeling? 860-522-9842. I'd love to know if you think what you want to hear when you turn on the radio is what you've already thought for your whole life and you never want to hear it challenged. I think it's my job to challenge your perceptions and your understandings so that we can get better results for that which we believe in. Let's take a quick break and take some calls. 860-522-9842 on WTIC. That you're after. Are you looking for an echo chamber?
I believe we listen to the station to agree with the points in which you make.
The purpose of listening is to agree. Seriously? Is that what it's all about? Because I don't want to be that person who just says predictable things that I think you're already thinking. I want the opposite. I want the opposite for everybody. Whether agreeing with me not at all, or a little bit, or a lot, or completely. And the thing I want is for you to understand what's going on and be able to think for yourself, to be able to explain your own beliefs. Because if we can't understand our own beliefs, the conclusions that we've come to, enough to be able to explain it to somebody else and convince somebody else, then where do we go from here? Then all we are is doing Yankee suck syndrome, I call it. Just rooting for our team, and we don't even know why they're better. They're better because we were born in Red Sox country or Yankees country or whatever it is. You should be rooting for the team you root for because you know that philosophically the principles they stand for, Republicans standing for smaller government some of the time and liberty some of the time, gives them a big advantage over the Democrats who actively and deliberately and consciously and continuously campaign to destroy those things. That's all I come down to, and I'm looking at everything through that perspective. 860-522-9842. And don't forget the rant line, 860-751-4698. Trying to do that every day. We haven't got it solid yet, but we're looking for 5:10 every day, I think, is the target time. James in New Britain. Hello, James.
Hey, afternoon, Todd. Hey, listen, I think the reason why some people get a little upset with you is because oftentimes you'll state a Democratic view as if it's real. You'll use their talking points, and it really pisses off people. They think that you're on that side, if there is a side to be on. But that's how you present it, and I think a lot of people get pissed off when they hear that, they think.
Can you give me an example?
A couple of days ago, we were talking about Black Lives Matter, and I forget exactly what the topic was, but the person said something about all lives matter, and you came up with, people think it's institutionalized, and what you mean by that, I believe is true, and I think it's the Democratic Party which institutionalized it, not regular people. You know, I don't think regular people are automatically racial and born that way, but I think the Democratic Party definitely instituted and has this whole program working to keep minorities and people down so they are collecting. And you'll present
exactly
it that way,
yes.
And people get pissed off. They think you're on that kind of side.
You mean that I'm in favor of that?
Right. Well, that you'll give the Democratic talking point explanation, their side of it, And it sounds legitimate the way you present it. And that, I think, angers people.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, I get you because I've listened to you since day one. I remember the first week I gave you a high five at the WTIC, and I gave you a little clap, and then we looked at each other. So, I mean, I get you. I know where you're coming from. But I don't think everybody does.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that could be. I might be confusing. I jump around a lot, so sometimes I confuse myself.
I doubt that.
James, thank you so much for the call, and thanks for your loyalty through the years. Bob in Glastonbury. Hi, Bob.
Todd, I just want to make a comment because
yes, we're responding to the – I'm sorry, say it again.
I listen to you every day because I trust what you say, not because I agree with how you think.
So you're not looking to have your own views repeated back to you. You like to hear fresh ideas.
No, I want to have a conversation and an argument. But I like what you say. You nail it every day. You nail it in ways I could never express about the unions and what's going on in this state. So I'm just saying, I don't want to hear what – I don't want you to repeat back to me what I think. I trust what you say because it's based in fact. You say it with clarity.
All right, good. Thank you for that, Bob. That's what I'm aspiring to. That's what I try to do. I know I fail a lot, but that's what I'm shooting for. Stephen calling from the truck. Yes, sir.
Hi, Todd. I hope you can hear me all right. The connection is not that great.
But you sound spectacular.
Great. What I wanted to say is this guy is accusing you of exactly what the politicians do and what so many people who want to be in power, stay in power, is to get what the ideas, what the people are thinking, what they want, and then just mouth them back to them and hope that they make them believe that they are for the people when, in fact, all they're for is power.
Wow, Stephen, that's a really smart observation. Thank you for that. Why are you a full-time truck driver?
Yes, and I listen to you a lot. It's hard to get you because I can't understand the numbers you put on the radio for your calling. I'm slow to pick them up, and I finally got them right today and got a hold of you.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for doing that. Truck drivers, I don't know what it is about you guys. I assume you have a lot of time to contemplate, but I'm amazed at how smart truck drivers are.
Well, it's not an easy job, and if you stick with it for any length of time, it tends to take the sharp edges off you and gives you some patience. We do contemplate a lot. We love this country, and we hope that the people who love this country can get together and become unified and have this, because there's more of us than there is of them, but the problem is we're not organized and unified. We're all out there kind of on our own, and there's no way to really communicate with each other.
But that's the job of the Republican Party. They're supposed to get us, the people who believe in America, organized.
As far as I'm concerned, all the politicians are useless.
That's true.
I mean,
Stephen,
there may be a few.
I'm glad you've got the number. Program that number into the phone and call often, okay?
I'll try to. Thank you, Todd.
All right. See, I love hearing from truckers. By the way, Stephen, the rant line is there for people like you 24/7. You can call whenever you want. 860-751-4698. Write that down without taking your eyes off the road, please. 751-4698. 24/7. You can put your call in. We'll pause for news and continue on WTIC.
Say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm eastbound just like a bandit run.
That one going out to Trucker Steve, courtesy of producer Mike. Thank you, Mike, for that. That sets the mood. All right, so Steve mentioned about Paul. Was it Steve or maybe now I'm confused? But somebody mentioned about politicians being the liars. Yeah, that was Steve, right? This is the governor. demonstrating why I say he lies every time I open his mouth. Every time he opens his mouth. He lies every time he opens the his mouth, because that's what his handlers tell him to do. Listen to how crafty this business of deceiving you is.
Their number one principle, our number one principle, my number one principle was public health and safety first.
All right, he's talking about the response to the virus. And this was a day where apparently his handlers had said they'd screwed up a number of things and he needed to set them straight. And the way the governor uses the press conferences much of the time is to say things that are the opposite, exactly the opposite of what's true or how they're doing things and how they're approaching things in order to get it on the table and into people's minds and to keep people confused about what's going on. So listen.
Their number one principle, our number one principle, my number one principle was public health and safety first. It's not an economic versus a health issue. The two go.
Now, of course, this was towards the end of May, about a month ago. And what the governor was doing here was he was starting to see that he was running behind reality. That is, his absolute 100% devotion to stopping virus as the arguing point, and to use his daily press conference every day to just talk about the virus and never to make an equal partner in the tragedy, what was happening to the economy, what's been happening to the economy. So this was a moment for him to pretend to care about the economy. He starts off by saying our operating principle was public health. And then he transitions.
It's not an economic versus a health issue. The two go hand in hand, as you've heard, every step of the way.
Every step of the way. So he's never said this before that I know of, having listened to him every day doing his press conferences. Then a month ago, suddenly he says, it's about the balance between these two things. And every day you've been hearing me talk about that. That kind of statement goes unchecked by the media and goes on the record for whatever number of people hear it and absorb it and think, oh, yeah, this governor, he's great. Such a nice guy. Doesn't he have a nice voice? He's been thinking about both. He's been thinking about the economy. What are you talking about, Todd? He's been thinking about it every day.
It's not an economic versus a health issue. The two go hand in hand, as you've heard, every step of the way, in a particular focus on our most vulnerable residents.
Okay, on to the most vulnerable residents. This was clear up all of the truths that might have been perceived by the public with a new pack of lies.
In a particular focus on our most vulnerable residents.
A particular focus. What was that? Trying to make sure they died first? Because the most vulnerable, I know that's a horrible thing to say. The way the government acted was horrible. Who died? I believe at a 68% rate in the state, 68% of the deaths. Who was it? Nursing home and assisted living residents. 68% of the deaths. I don't know, maybe it's moved since. That was a couple weeks ago. How does he reconcile these statements?
Because that is the folks who are most in danger of complications, and that's where flare-ups can be.
Sorry. I move forward. Let me go back to the lie about older people.
In a particular focus on our most vulnerable residents.
Okay, focus in, i.e., we're trying to get the disease to them as quickly as possible. Well, no, he's not talking about older people who died at a 68% rate. Is he talking about blacks? Because he also did a very good job. If he's focused on the most vulnerable, normally when Democrats talk about the most vulnerable, that's code for their core constituencies. So the most vulnerable people, not to the disease, but just vulnerable in general because they're a core constituency, that's unions. So Democrats let them run the state. That's how vulnerable unions are. They make every single decision. And then you move on to the minority voters, who are the next most vulnerable people. That is, they have put their lives in the hands of the Democrats. And look what they get in return. So that's why he talks like that.
Because that is the folks who are most in danger of complications, and that's where flare-ups can be most lethal.
He says the opposite of what is true specifically and deliberately And why? To make sure you have no idea who he is, what he believes, what he actually does, and what he thinks.
Science-driven. These are based on the facts. Not only Dr. Koh and the amazing team that he put together, but Scott Gottlieb and Zeke Emanuel. I think you've seen we've gotten the best and the brightest from within the state and more broadly to inform the metrics we need to allow us to reopen safely.
Okay. Metrics-driven, science-driven. A couple days ago, Nedster's having a press conference, and he's talking about the reaction to the virus, and he's showing us statistics, as he usually does. He's got these talking points that he puts up on the board so everybody can see and projects them into the computers for everyone to see. And it shows this precipitous drop in all of the indicators that has been going on for weeks, since early April. Just stunning performance on the part of the people of the state at not getting sick. I don't know how we did this. I don't know how it's possible to not get sick when you're out in public all the time, going to the grocery store, going to the gas station, going to Home Depot or Lowe's to pick up something. Everybody's out shopping all the time. Sometimes the roads are just as busy as on a normal day. Have you noticed? But Ned feels things are so dangerous. A few weeks ago, he had to cut back on the hairdressers. Oh, it was such a threat. How many days did he change that for? A week? That was all show. That was all bull dung. Nonsense. The state's performance has been wonderful. And he has ignored the economy. That's the only point I wanted to make here. He's talking about the parity between his concern over the virus. It's always been, since day one, all I've cared about is the virus and the economy. That's why that's all you hear about. Well, no, you never mentioned that, except that one day on May 20th, I think it was. And then that was stricken from the talking points. Point made, we've got the sound we can use in a TV commercial in a re-election bid. I guess, I don't know. All I can do is speculate. Because the idea of seeing that the state is doing great, knowing that COVID has not been a threat here for a long time, and sitting there with your knee on the neck of the economy, I don't get that. I don't get that, except that Democrats view the damage they've done to the state pre-COVID as being so extreme that they need the COVID damage to be bad enough to hide it all into one bin and keep voters confused and go to the federal government for a bailout. And they must have some sense a bailout is coming. 860-522-9842. Reno, hi.
Hey, how you doing, Todd?
Are you really calling from the northwest corner?
Correcto.
Okay. And you don't want to tell us what town?
No, Barkhamsted.
Okay. Good.
I work for a big local grocery chain.
Okay.
You know, we have 77 stores. And
77 stores?
Throughout the states.
Okay.
And, you know, we practiced the mask thing and at the beginning because I was a private entrepreneur for probably 38 years with four different ventures. And then, you know, we got to wear the mask. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's fine. But what my point was is that Governor Lamont, I'll never forget it. You can pull it up on any feed, on any of the radio stations or TV stations. He drove his car when he was campaigning. He goes, if I get elected governor, I do not need a state vehicle. And he
drives
his own little car. And that disturbed me because, you know what? I wasn't born yesterday. If you're elected governor, you're not going to drive your own car.
Darn right.
Because you got to have the, you know, state police protecting you, so to say. And it's just, I don't want to get too much, you know, he's Lamont. He lies to us.
Lamont, that's good. All right, Reno, thank you for the call. Do you have that, Mike? Play it if you've got it.
So I turned 64 this year. Kind of liberating, actually. I'm not running for governor as a stepping stone. Not thinking about re-election. I'm not going to take a salary. And I don't need a government car. This one's going to do just fine. Middle class has taken a hit for years. Maybe it's time for your governor to give back as well. I am going to be totally open about what we're doing. And honestly, I can't turn around the state in year one, but you're sure as heck going to know where we're going. I'm Ned Lamont, and I approve this message.
Boy, oh boy, was there anything in that that was true? You're sure as heck going to know where you're going. The only prediction you can make with confidence is off the cliff. From day one, lies. From pre-day one, from the campaign, lies. I think people cut politicians slack on stuff like lying about, I'm not going to have a driver, because it's such an obvious lie. You know, like Reno said, I wasn't born yesterday. But if it's cute enough and likable enough, then for some reason we let them get away with it. But that was a little foreshadowing, I think, of the lie on tolls. 860-522-9842. We'll pause briefly, continue the conversation with your calls on WTIC. Okay. 860-522-9842. Rants line 751-4698. We'll do the rants at 5:10. And what is it? I was just sifting through some sound cuts to find some other lies. Because, you know, that's my premise here. They're always trying to find new ways to deceive us. And this one I was just going to play you isn't playing.
Annie Lamont takes good care of me.
That was his claim, that Annie Lamont does the perfect coloring of his hair and the perfect haircutting. Do you believe that?
Annie Lamont takes good care of me.
You buying that? 860-522-9842, yes, is the phone number. Ken calling from Weathersfield. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how are you?
Thanks for joining in. What's going on?
Well, you know... First of all, I was excited to call in about the hairdresser decision, but then you played that awful ad from him running for governor, and I almost got sick. Yeah, you listen to that ad, and it's just such garbage. But on to my point, the hair salon thing. You know, he's talking about metrics and scientists and health people and all this stuff. I remember his conversation to everybody. He said, well, I talked to some hair salon owners and some hairdressers, and they felt they weren't ready. So I thought I would listen to them and give them a little more time. That's not science. You're interfering with people's free business. I mean, there were people ready to go. That was a sham. Just a sham.
Well, that's a really important point that you made right there. The whole point of this whole thing has been to make it seem like he's doing something responsible and logical, as opposed to just trying to keep his knee on the neck for as long as he can. And that's what he's been doing. So that requires him to be inconsistent, because the facts don't support that there is just reopening happening right now, weeks after the reopening, you know?
No, and I know this. I'm in a restaurant business. I started my restaurant in my 20s. I'm 60. I've been through, you know, recessions and bank disasters and you name it. I've been through it. This whole thing, when he shut us down, you know, I tried to do takeout for a week. Do you know how much food I ended up throwing away that I ordered because he never gave a hint that he was just going to close us to inside eating? I mean, it's in the thousands of dollars. I'm still not going to reopen until after July 4th. Because I don't trust them. I've got to prep my whole kitchen. I've got to bring my staff back. They're ready to come back, but I don't trust them. I don't trust the whole thing.
Well, you know what? I think that you can trust that they're open and they're going to stay there, but I still think it's a good decision, because people need time to get back in action again. There's this transition. Everyone's used to staying in the house. And not going out, and everybody's got to learn to have fun again.
Well, they're afraid too. You know, my wife is one of them, and you know, she thinks like I do. She thinks like you do, but yet it's been so ingrained in her from these newspaper articles and from Ned speaking and from other tidbits that she's really nervous. And I try and push her the other way a little bit. You know, I don't want her to be complacent, but you know, look, you're right about people not getting sick. We've seen it. We're doing very well. The economy is suffering from it.
Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's the serious patient. That's the patient in the ICU. So that's the one we should be focusing on. And for some reason that's inexplicable to me, there hasn't been this strong instinct on the part of the governor and quote unquote leadership in the state, which has been invisible. Nobody's wanted to step forward and say, we need to help the Kens of the world save their businesses. Families who've invested years and their love and their loot in their businesses. They need help.
And there's nothing for us there. There's no capital to replace the lost capital through our income that we had to give up. The PPP loan, well, you know all about that. It doesn't do anything for us. It's a shuffle of federal money. Shuffle to my landlord, who's been great to me. Shuffle to employees. You know, I'm just handling that money. There isn't anything for me to reopen my business. I have to create that on my own by a loan. Which is nonsense to me too. I'm 60 years old. I'm not going into huge debt to reopen my business. It'll reopen.
Right. Well,
I'll make it work.
Good. You want to tell us the name of the restaurant?
Well, yeah, why not? New York Pickle Deli in Rocky Hill.
Oh, okay. I've heard of you guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I haven't been there yet though, but I'll check it out. And you know, keep at it, because I think I think the economy will start to take off once the politicians are sufficiently out of the way. So be optimistic.
Great staff and great customers. So there's no doubt. It's just an awful event.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Ken, for the call. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. We've got a lot to talk about next hour. We will do that. Right now, we're off to the Brown Paint Harrison Scott Traffic Center. Mark Christopher is there watching the roads. Anything to tell us about, Mark?
Well, first of all, you got to get down to New York Piccadilly, right down on Route 3 in Rocky Hill. Great place, recommended highly. The great Ken Yavis, the owner, you just talked to him, and his beautiful wife, Darlene. They do a great job down there, so check it out.